I'd like to, in a sense, zoom out and then zoom close in on a specific thing. But in zooming out, in a sense, maybe a medium zoom right now. What we have at the beginning of the year, what typically happens with people, right? What do they do? They do resolutions, right? Do y'all remember where they got that idea from, more than likely? Yeah, and Jonathan Edwards. You read in a lot of these books where he has 13 resolutions, right? But he actually had 70. And he didn't go over them every year. He actually went over them every week. Okay? So, that being said, not necessarily something. You know what? Sometimes we have prayer requests and we feel confident in telling people our prayer requests, and then other times we have unspokens. So I'm not necessarily talking about the unspokens, but what about y'all? Do you have any goals for this year? Who would like to speak and tell us what your goal is for this year? One of your resolutions. Yes, Rachel.
Be in my Bible every day, no matter what.
Amen. Be in your Bible every day, no matter what. Seth, did you raise your hand? Oh, okay. Are you sure? All right, his is unspoken right now. Yes, bro.
I'd like to make sure that our church is able to visit all the new move-ins every month throughout the year, even if that means that's just me doing
it. Amen.
I don't think it will be about the same. I just don't see that.
You actually jumped up to the others, because I was actually thinking, what is your personal goal for you? And then I was actually going to ask, what is your goal for our church? Do you have a resolution? What would you like to see in our church? So, still being on that, you personally, what would you like to see, Jessica?
Well, I was
going to
say my resolution thing, but it's to be a better servant to the Lord.
Amen. Hannah?
I'd like to see two souls saved.
Two souls saved. Two specific souls. Hey, man, that's a good goal. Amen. Do you have one personal or no?
That is a personal goal. Okay. I believe it falls on me. It's just something I want to see accomplished through.
Amen. So you want to be the catalyst for, the leader to lead the rest of us to do that. Praise God. Praise God. What about for our church? Does anybody have any desires and goals? I guess when you think about resolutions, you think about goals, right? So what's your goal? What's your personal goal for you this year? What may be a goal for all of us? Yes, Rachel.
I'd like to see us maybe expand our way of outreach and also collectively love the way that Jesus loved and treat people like Jesus. I mean, that's always been the goal.
Amen.
Specifically as a church, maybe be the most Christ-like church in Indiana. Maybe. I don't know.
Amen. 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 Anybody else have a goal for our church? Yes.
I'd like to see, work on the youth ministry more and get the bus route going.
Right.
Amen. 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 You know, there's something that I ask myself when I think about personal goals and things like that. It's are the goals for myself personally, are they God's goals for me? You could ask the same thing. If you don't have any goals for yourself this year, shame on you. Because we should be a goal-oriented people. We should be having a target that we are striving after, right? And at the same time, if you don't have a goal for our church, shame on you. You should have that. I don't mean to make you feel so bad. If you feel bad for a little bit, and then just find it, ask God for a goal. I'm sure He can give you a goal for yourself, and He can give you a goal for this church, all right? Now, one of the things I see chiefly in the Bible is a goal for God, for us, is what? Rachel kind of touched on it already, and she mentioned it somewhat. But, what is God's goal for us in this life? What's one thing that's mentioned as God's goal for us? Yes. What's that picture of perfection that God gives us? Yes, Rachel.
Be like Jesus.
Be like Jesus. Can you give me a verse?
God says, be holy.
Amen. Another verse, more specific. Yes. Yes. What was that, Brother Kyle? Be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. That's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5. But what Pastor mentioned in Romans chapter 8, it says, how many things work together? All things together work for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And then what's the next verse say? It actually tells us what that good is. For whom he did foreknow. He did predestinate to be conformed into the image of his Son. So that is God's goal for you. Every single thing in your life, God will use to make you like Jesus. Is that your goal? I would say, you know, my personal goal is that for this year is that I would become more like Jesus. That's, you may say that's a general thing. Yes, it is. We're going to zoom in on something more specific. Because as I was asking the Lord for what to... I was asking, I didn't know if I would be able to preach a message this time, but I was just like, Lord, like, can you give me some... Is there any other preacher like that? You pray about something to preach and you don't get anything? And that happens all the time with me. I don't get anything. And then all of a sudden, someone just goes, boom. And it was like, oh, wow, yeah. I really need to preach on that. You know, I'm reminded of Leonard Ravenhill in that revival hymn. Not sure if y'all remember it. I always remember it. Remember something he said in there? He said, the Lord gave me a word for the new year. I don't go scattering through the book to find one. The Lord gave me a word. Rejection. Great. That's what he said. The Lord gave me a word. Rejection. I want to zoom in on this aspect of the Lord Jesus. Okay? Another thought that came to me when the Lord was, I believe, showing me what to preach on. It just came to me over and over again. Now, I don't think when we win souls to Christ that it is like some salesman type tactic or something like that. I don't want to treat people like some commodity and like I'm a salesman. But I do understand, though, as being having a job as a salesman before, is that a lot of what we do as far as reaching people for Christ, it has parallels with the sales fields, basically. You know, and so one of the things I learned as a salesman, and I actually started to embrace it, and it actually helped me all the more, was to double the rate of rejection. Double the rate of rejection. You know, some people might go out and they want to be successful in their job as sales or whatnot. And they're going to say, I want to make like 5,000 in sales today. Or I want to make 10,000 in sales today. That's what they say, right? But I was the opposite. And there's other people like me where I was like, I want to get rejected 20 times a day. If I don't get rejected 20 times a day, I'm not successful. You know, sometimes I would get rejected 15 times, and I just couldn't get people to reject me 20 times. It just didn't happen. But that is something that God has really impressed upon me for this year. I want to be rejected more. I want to be rejected more by people. As I am preaching the gospel to them, I want to double my rate of rejection. What does that have to do with being like Christ? Is there anything in the Bible, is there a word that describes Jesus and it says something about him being rejected? Yeah, where's that at, Hannah? Isaiah 53. All right, so that's where I'm at right now. Who has believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men. So if you, do you want to be like Jesus, dear church? Do you want to be more like Jesus this year? I encourage you to look at this aspect of Jesus, that he was despised and rejected of men, and ask yourself the question, am I willing to be rejected more and more this year? When I've heard from people that talk about how the world's going, it seems like they might have had a conservative upbringing, maybe a Christian-type upbringing, and it's really interesting. They're kind of going back to, this world's disgusting. Like, it is getting so horrible. Like, I don't think there's any hope for America. Like, America is getting worse and worse and worse. People are just fomenting their filth all throughout the internet. Like, they're doing all this garbage. Like, man, I think our society is hopeless. Well, guess what? In a sense, it is. In a sense, our society, it's likely going to get worse. Have you considered the prophecies about what's going to happen in our world? Have you considered, like, one thing that's interesting to me recently, I was able to preach at the Good News Shelter, is that it talks about in Matthew 24 about the end times, right? And it talks about the Great Tribulation. Do you know that Jesus mentions every single, like, one of those things that we usually point to, like wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and diverse places and famines and diseases and all of those things? Do you know that he mentions those things and he's basically saying that's just the beginning. That's just the beginning. That's the beginning of sorrows. No, that's not the Great Tribulation. That is the beginning.
Right.
Do you realize we're in the beginning?
Right.
You realize that we can look at the Bible and we could actually say, well, people make predictions for the new year too, right?
Right?
Guess what? We can predict next year, which is very soon, there's going to be more wars.
Right.
There's going to be more rumors of wars. Guess what? Next year, you know, people forget about, you know, just this year, there was an earthquake in Turkey and 50,000 people lost their lives. On the same day that Hamas attacked Israel, an earthquake happened in Afghanistan. 7,000 people lost their lives. Guess what's going to happen this upcoming year? More earthquakes. The Bible says it's going to get so fearful that people are just going to start having heart attacks from the fear that is happening. That is promised to us. It says more diseases are coming. More famine is coming. Guess what? Jesus also said, we're going to be hated of all nations for his name's sake. Everybody's going to hate us. That's what's promised to us. In a sense, it sounds like he's, just as he said he was going to be rejected, we are going to be rejected as well. Now, I want to ask you something in regards to this. When it comes to you being rejected, I think. Do you think that we should like being rejected? Do you think that we should? I guess in a sense, if you desire this, because guess what? I desire this. This is not only a personal goal for myself, but it's a goal and it's a desire for all of you. I pray that every single one of you would desire to be rejected more and more this year. That is my prayer for you. I pray that you would embrace it. That you would welcome it with open arms. Yes, Lord, bring rejection, please. I want to be like Jesus in this. But do you think like our attitude should kind of be like, I guess you could say like sadistic in a sense? Like, kind of like, yeah, I love rejection. I'm just crazy. Do you think that's like how it should be? No, I don't think in a sense we should like rejection just for the sake of rejection. But at the same time, I believe we should embrace it. We should embrace it. You know, I was talking to James earlier, and I was talking about, you know, it's in a sense like we're like wild beasts. We're lost. We've been trapped in the devil's snare. And God comes to rescue us. And we don't, in a sense, some of us don't even understand what he's doing. We may love the bait that was put out for us, and we're chowing down on it while we're ripping our leg off of its socket because of the trap that's on us. And he comes and tries to rescue us, and we just want to rip him to pieces. Like, it's just like, get off of me. It's like a rabid beast. Like, I don't know what you're doing. Get away from me. It's like, I'm trying to save you. I'm trying to rescue you. And it's like, you realize that's what he's called us to? We're going out there into the world like trying to seek and save the lost, which are like rabid beasts. They love their sin and they don't want to let go of it. And they're going to try to turn and rend us as we try to do that. But if we realize what we're trying to do, that we're trying to see them saved, we're going to embrace the rejection. No matter how much they, and in fact, in some way, we know that we're getting somewhere. Oh, wait a second, I know I'm actually hitting. I'm going to the heart because they're fighting me right now. What did that man of God say back in the day? He says, when he was teaching people how to be soul winners, he said, there's two things that should happen, you know, to you soul winners when you go out. There's two things I want you to expect. Either people get converted or they get angry. That's the only two responses I want you to look for. They either get converted or they get angry. I don't think that we should lose this heart that Jesus had with his, you know, as it says even in John, he came unto his own and his own received him not, right? He knew he was going to be rejected. He went anyway, And but in that, it wasn't like, oh, I just want to get rejected for the sake of getting rejected. He knew that he had to be rejected in a sense, and this would happen because of the nature of people, the sinful nature of people. And but it was absolutely necessary that he still go to seek and save the lost. Otherwise, they wouldn't be saved. And so along with this heart of him, I would think embracing rejection, he also had a heart of compassion. Right? So listen to this description of Jesus in Matthew chapter 9. And I think this should be our heart as well. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, he says, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd." That's the very way we should look at people. These folks that are like sheep scattered abroad, they have no shepherd. When sheep are scattered abroad, think back to David maybe. If his sheep were scattered abroad, the way that he described some of his enemies that were around, what would have happened to him? Devoured. We know that if people are not under our shepherd, then they will be devoured. And we should have the same moving of compassion in us that, oh, we want them to be under the shepherd. He responded to this in verse 37. Then saith he unto his disciples, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Anybody that knows their Bible knows what comes next, right? What does he do in Matthew 10? He sends them out. He sends them out into the world. He sends them out into this harvest. You know, this is like one of the only like types of prayer requests, I think, that Jesus mentions in the Bible. And he actually doesn't. One person pointed out one time, and I have found it to be true, is that the Bible actually never directly instructs us to pray for people's salvation. It indirectly does so. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 10, he said, "I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in heart." Well, that's Romans 9. Romans 10, he says, "Brother, my prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." And of course, over and over again, Paul says, "Follow me as I follow Christ." So we should desire that Israel be saved. We should desire that our brethren be saved, like it says in Matthew or in Romans chapter 9, where he says, "I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I wish that I were accursed from Christ for my brethren's sake." You know, that should be our heart. But when it actually comes to obeying the Lord, he said for us to pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. How often do you do that? I would say that a lot of times when I'm caught, well, when I remember to pray this, and I seek to pray it like every day, but I am always moved to say, "Lord, and make me an able laborer. Make me an able laborer." So I'm sure you heard it before. The Satan gets a double victory sometimes, because not only we don't want to pray this, in some sense people don't want to pray this because he knows that they're not doing it. They're not being a laborer. if you don't pray it, then God's not going to raise up laborers, and also you're not going to be obedient to the Lord. So it's failure on two parts. But in the next chapter, when he sends forth them two by two, he says in verse 16, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." Now, what are these wolves? He says in verse 17, "But beware of men." These men are like wolves. Right? He's in it also this same way. I mean, the Apostle Paul reiterated that in Romans. He said, "We are like lambs to the slaughter." That's what we are. Right? He says, "Beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues, and you shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, or for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death." Talking to James about what if somebody came to your house and your brother was there and he said, "Hey, I think there's Christians here, right?" Like, and they had knives and guns and everything, and they were like, "You're a Christian?" And like, I don't know, I don't want to offend anybody, but like, like, Micah, well, how would you feel if Levi was like, no, what, is your brother? Oh, yeah, he's right there. How would you feel? Betrayed. Absolutely. This is what Jesus says is going to happen. Brother is going to give up brother, and it says, to what? To death. He says, and the father, the child. And the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. That sounds like rejection. Ye should be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Yeah, I think this is more descriptive and not prescriptive. In other words, you're saved and you endure to the end and you will be saved. But when they persecute you, what he says in this city, flee ye to another, into another. For verily I say unto you, ye should not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? So, again, there we go again. God's showing us again. Jesus wants to make us just like him. And if the master is rejected, we will be rejected. I actually asked James. I said, James, hold me accountable. Next time you see me, every week as we meet, I want you to ask me, how's your rejection going? And if you believe that this is accurate, then I'll ask you the same thing. James, give me specific examples of how you were rejected this week. Oh, they called you a Satanist? Wow, that's what Jesus said they would say about us. They called him of the house of Beelzebub. And you will be called as him. He says, but listen, he says, fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that should not be revealed and hid that should not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the rooftops or the housetops. In other words, even if you get rejected, don't go hiding somewhere. Get up in the highest place that you can possibly find and preach the word that he's told you in secret and get rejected more. Be like me. Follow me. And I'll make you fishers of men. Be bold. Fear not them which can kill the body, or which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. He goes on saying, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? You're so much more valuable than them. He says, whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. He even goes on to talk about, I can not to bring peace, but a sword. What's a sword sound like also? Rejection. Somebody pulls a sword out on you as you're preaching the gospel to them. I'd say it's safe to say they're rejecting what you're saying. But he said, I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. People in their own household shall be divided. We don't desire this primarily, but we know that it will happen. Because of the truth that we preach, we know God has promised it. Rejection is coming. But I will say, one of the things that excites me about it is that I know that in the realm that it works, in the kind of like the physical realm of when you're trying something, you know, like there's so many examples. Thomas Edison and his many failures and everybody else saying, like, how did you get to be such a great basketball player? Well, I tried to miss like 10,000 shots a day. It's like the more and more that you seek to reach people, and the more and more rejected you get. I actually was trying something recently. I found out about this thing where you could go online and you could have video chats with people around the world. And I actually tried today to get rejected 100 times. I only got rejected 80 times. But I had 3 or 4 amazing conversations with people from around the world. And I have found that typically this is how it happens. You might go out in a sense of like, but I was actually had it as a goal. I wanted to get rejected 100 times. But I knew in the midst of that something else would happen. And some of these people, they didn't want to get off. They didn't want to stop talking to me. I had a girl tell me, like you've opened my mind. Like, you've completed. She's like, thank you so much. Thank you so much. I was like, oh, that was worth it. That was worth it. There's many times people rejected me, cursed me out. This guy from China just started cursing me out as soon as he got on the video. I was like, what's wrong with you? Am I English not good? I'm like, no, it's not good. Who taught you how to speak English? Like, you've been cursing me out since I got on here. Like, what's going on? Like, yeah, you need to learn English. You got bad English. You know, people from those other cultures, they love to be complimented with, you know, you have good. No, you have bad English. I don't know who taught you how to speak English, but you have bad English. But praise God. This coming year, rejection. Is that your goal? That's my goal for myself. That's my goal. That's my prayer for the church. Just as Pastor was mentioning about reaching the people that are new move-ins and all that. We can't be afraid of people rejecting us. We have to embrace it. Jesus promised us. It will happen. You double, in a sense, your rate of rejection. I guarantee you, you'll double the amount of people that you're actually reaching for Christ. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for your word. Dear God, please help us. Please help us this coming year. Glorify thy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.